Praise the Lord. If I was an evangelist tonight, I'd smile a whole lot. I'd say something nice about my wife and have her stand and testify. And if you want to, you can. No pressure. Sister Emma's not old enough to come up here yet and quote scripture. But she can say dada. So that's pretty cool. Amen. The Lord knows and has known already what was going to happen for this week. And so my thought was yesterday, as Pastor Hurst and I were discussing the events leading forward throughout this week, I thought we've experienced a stirring in our hearts for the past several months. Whether it be from the youth group or from our elders or from our adults, I've seen a stirring in our men. I've seen the Lord stirring homes and just getting folks charged. So therefore, if He's been doing a pre-work before we get to these series of services, and He's already God, He's already inhabited tomorrow, He must have already known that He's still got something great in store for this week for Union Pentecostal Church. Hallelujah. I'm glad to be a part of it tonight. I talked to Ryan a little bit last night, and I don't normally do this, but I just told him what was on my heart for this evening service, and he said, "Preach that." And that's all he said. It was a text message, so not a whole lot. But I feel led tonight to preach to our church about launching out. Launch out. Let's turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 5. Be our text for this evening. Praise the Lord. I want to reiterate what Pastor Hurst said before we continue. Please, we want all of our adults, all of our elders, our aunts, uncles, grandparents, whoever you are, Friday night for winter warm-up and Saturday, please feel welcome to be a part of that service, of that series of meetings. I believe in this generation, our young people, more than ever, are in a place where they need someone to pattern their spiritual lives after. You know, in any time in our lives when you are going through education, you look up to somebody. And in terms of worship, I still get charged up watching our elders get blessed in the Spirit of the Lord. I still get excited watching our adults get lost in the presence of God. It does something to me, and I know that our young people are looking to our adults and how to worship, how to pray, how to seek the face of God. So we need you Friday night to be here for winter warm-up. Amen. Let's stand tonight, begin reading out of the book of Luke, chapter number 5. Praise the Lamb of God. I can't see that clock. There's a glare right on the light, so I got you. We're good. All right. Praise the Lord. And it came to pass, verse 1, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Him, that's Jesus, to hear the word of God, He stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And Jesus saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And Jesus entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And Jesus sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, or when he was finished, Jesus said unto Simon, "Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught." And Simon Peter answering said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word..." Oh, what a statement. If we would have that attitude for the services of revival and for our church going forward. I know we've had experiences in the past, but whatever the Lord would say, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will." Amen. Lord, at your word, I will. Hallelujah. I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For Peter was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Hallelujah. I'd love to preach tonight to you just for a little while on launch out. Launch out. Let's pray tonight. I feel a sense of eternity in the house. Would you join us in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to minister your word. I praise you tonight that your word is a living word and it goes forth and it will not return void. And so I ask you just to anoint me as your minister, as your servant tonight. I pray, oh God, that you would do a work that I can never do on my own, and that you would change someone's soul for eternity tonight. I thank you, Jesus, for what you're about to do in this revival. And we worship you, oh God, for your faithfulness to Union Road. We thank you for your faithfulness to this church and to your people. And God, we praise you tonight for calling us your own. Praise the Lamb of God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Praise the Lord. Launch out. There's three different groups of people tonight that I want to address in this sermon. Three different groups of people whose lives were changed by the events that took place in this story. I want us to note tonight that there was the first group, which was the group of folks that had such a desire to hear the words of Christ that they pushed in after Him. We see here in verse 1 that the Bible says that as the people pressed upon Him to hear the Word of God, there was a group of folks that were hungry to hear what this man Jesus had to say. Not only had this man had words that of authority, as the Bible described it, that is, he spoke as one having authority, but this man's words were the very words of life. He was doing miracles and showing signs and wonders that this generation had never seen before. And so they began to press after him. Jesus, recognizing that there is a group of fishermen here. The Bible said that it was Simon Peter, James, and John, a business, if you were, a partnership in the fishing industry. They are here, and their boats are upon the shore, and these men are no longer fishing. In fact, they're taking in care of their nets. They're mending their nets. And he asked Simon Peter, "Would you mind if I sat in your boat and just got a little bit off of the shoreline?" Now, if there's anyone in here that understands water and in terms of the waves, you know that sound can travel across the water and in a very strong manner. And I suppose that Christ, understanding this, since He is the Creator, knows that He could speak to this crowd with a greater capacity. And so He begins to minister to this crowd of people, and He's just a little bit off of the shoreline. Now, notice this. We've oftentimes, when hearing this topic preached on, have criticized those who were on the shore because they didn't go out onto the lake with Christ. But Jesus never one time made mention that this was a negative. No, I commend those folks who came to hear the Word of God. Not only did they come to hear the Word of God, but when Christ was finished, no doubt those very same people left speaking about the things that they had heard. We know that Christ did a work that day in ministry and teaching, that these folks heard the very words of life. And it's not recorded here, but no doubt there was a life that was changed, upon that shoreline that day. No doubt when this group of people, being in fellowship with Jesus Christ, left that day and someone was changed by their encounter with Jesus Christ. I appreciate that when God begins to do a work in the hearts of men and women, He oftentimes starts with the Word of God being taught, and it pricks our hearts, and it gets us to a place where we know we have met with Jesus Christ. Amen. We are living in a generation where the teaching of the Word of God is becoming so scarce. Everyone is desirous to see miracles. Everyone is passionate about shouting and worship. And yet when it comes time for the Word of God to be preached to us, knowing that it is the foundation of our hearts, amen, there seems to be a lack in this generation's desire to hear that. But notice here in this sermon, in this opportunity for the disciples, that the Word of God was the basis and the beginning of a life-changing experience. During this revival, may we never forget that it is not how many times we shout, but I pray that we do have an opportunity to worship. It is not how many times that we leave this place saying, I'm glad so-and-so did not get to preach. We had a gully washer tonight. No, my friends, it is when we base our whole experience in Christ, founded upon the Word of God, knowing what saith the Lord. Amen. What does the Word of God have to say? You see, when the Word of God begins to get planted in our hearts, all of a sudden the shout becomes sweeter. Amen. All of a sudden ministry becomes meaningful. Amen. Playing the music becomes more fulfilling. Amen. When we go forth from this place after the Word of God has been preached, it is a fruitful season. And the Word of God was being taught to this group of people. Let us not forget that Jesus Himself is the Word of God. The Bible told us in the book of John chapter 1 that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so we can understand today that the first group of people, those who were on the shoreline, were receiving the Word of God. Praise the Lord. In this day and hour, may we have a group of people who will hunger and thirst and desire to hear and receive the Word of God, Jesus Christ, preached in our hearts today. Amen. And notice the place and position. Peter, James, and John, they are also amongst this group of people receiving the Word. They're here listening to the Messiah, preaching, exhorting, and teaching. They are also amongst that group of people who are seeing the things happening amongst them. Jesus is doing signs and wonders. But there is another separation here. You see, it was Simon Peter's boat that Jesus was teaching from. It was Simon Peter's boat that, and his own effort where Jesus said, would you do me a favor and would you just thrust out a little bit? So now we see a deeper relationship. First, Simon Peter was in a place and position with those who were on the land. But now we see that he's in a place where he's closer to Christ. He was not yet one of the disciples in this setting. He was just hearing, amen, Christ's words. But here we find that he's in a closer proximity to Christ than those who were on the land. Now, does that make those who are on the land any worse? Absolutely not. But Peter is in a closer position. Now, we have an opportunity this week. Those amongst us who are here in revival have an opportunity to draw closer to Christ this week. We have been those who have heard the Word. We are those who have been saved, who have been called out by God, who have been separated. But this week, I believe that Christ would like to draw closer to you in a very special manner. I believe that the Lord would like to do something in our hearts this week. Well, Brother Steve, you know, I've met with the Messiah. Amen. We might not have literal boats, amen, for the Lord to climb in. But oh, I tell you, tomorrow morning on the way to work, you might find that Christ has set sat down in the passenger seat with you and you begin to commune with the Messiah. Amen. You might find yourself in the middle of work and you just are in that tired place, and all of a sudden the Messiah sits down right where you're at and begins to teach your heart that He is near. Young people, you might be in the middle of school this week and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost sweeps by, and where you were frustrated and you were feeling low, all of a sudden you do begin to sing about the freedom that we have found in Christ. There is a position and a place where we can draw closer to God in this revival. Hallelujah. Amen. The understanding is this: there was a group of people on the shoreline. There was also a few folks that the Lord wanted to take to a deeper place. And He asked Simon Peter, when he's finished teaching and the crowds have dispersed, "Simon, I'd like you to launch out into the deep." Now let's not forget here that Simon and James and John have already worked a full day shift and have caught nothing. And there have been moments in times of revival where you and I have come into the house of God after working all day, and you're tired, and you feel spiritually like there's nothing left in the tank. And it may have been a hard day's labor. Amen. The kids might have been screaming all day. Amen. The water might have broke out somewhere and you had a leak in the pipes. Amen. Your day just might have been rotten, but you decided, "I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to launch out and I'm going to see what God has to do tonight and what He has to say." And all of a sudden you find yourself, when the Spirit of God begins to move, Jesus is saying, "Why don't we go a little bit deeper? Amen. I know that I've been speaking to you on the shoreline, but I've got something else I'd like to show you. Let's go a little bit deeper. Amen. Let's go a little bit farther out in the Spirit of God." And you find yourself with an encounter with Jesus. We find that there was a purpose for Christ commanding Peter to go deeper. Jesus always has a will for His people. The Spirit of the Lord has a plan for your life. Young person, hear me tonight. You were not here by accident. You were not made by accident. It doesn't matter what anybody has told you, God has created you with a purpose. And Jesus knew that, yes, here I am with common fishermen. But Jesus could see what He was already at work doing. And all Simon Peter thought, "We're just going fishing again." I'd like you to know tonight that the Lord can see into your future. He's already there. And He's got a will for your life and a plan. And you may not be able to see your own reflection in the mirror thinking, "I'll never be anything more than this. I'm a mistake. I've made mistakes. I'm a failure." You may be labeled in your own life and in your own mind, and yet the Lord can see the future that He would make for you. You see, God is able to write a book of our lives so much better than we can for ourselves. And He is laying out the foundation in this very encounter for the man, Simon Peter, to become a man of God. I want you to know tonight that this revival may be the catalyst that God would use to create a life in you that you would never dream on your own ability, that you would never know in your own life. He may be calling you into a field of ministry that you would say, "I can never do that." But by being faithful to the house of God, He gets an encounter with you where all of a sudden the dream of the Lord begin to be the dreams that you have, and the heartbeat of the Savior begins to be the heartbeat of the Son. I'd like you to know tonight that God would like to have an encounter with you during this revival that would propel you to becoming the man and woman of God that He would have you to be. Hallelujah. There was a purpose to Peter's preparation. Hallelujah. Jesus had a lesson for them that would change their lives. Now Peter has been fishing all night and he's tired. And here is a teacher, a man, that commands this professional, "Cast your nets into the other side." And Peter, no doubt frustrated and a little bit flabbergasted, says, "We have fished all night and we have caught nothing. We have not even got close to finding Nemo or any of his brothers or sisters. He's not here. All right, we don't know where he's at." Peter says, "We have caught nothing." And there have been moments maybe in your life spiritually where the Lord would begin to work a work in your heart and begin to put His hand upon something and say, oh, child, I'd love to take you places. And you begin to look back and say, oh, Lord, but look how fruitless it was back there. I haven't done anything. I'm not able to do anything. But the Lord would say, go ahead and just trust me and launch out into the deep. Sister Norma, there are moments in our ministries where we must understand that the season that we are in now is not going to dictate the season of the future, that the Lord would love to work in our hearts. Church, there are moments where we as a congregation have battled and toiled, and we have fought through the hard times and the low valleys and fought against the Goliaths. But we must be reminded that when the Lord says, cast the net onto the other side, we say, absolutely, whatsoever you will, God, we'll do that. And go ahead and push the nets in and see what God does. Amen. God is trying to prepare the heart of Peter for the ministry that is about to befold him. Praise the Lord. There's a purpose for every encounter with Christ. Amen. Every opportunity that we come into the house of the Lord, we can become familiar with this place. And yet there's a purpose. There's a purpose of you being here. I don't know how many times I've heard it and even said it. It feels like every time I miss a revival service, whether it have been for work or sickness, that's the best night of revival. That's just how it always is. You know, it feels like that. I want you to know something. Every service this week, and if you can't be here, if you just really can't, we've got it online. Praise the Lord. Thank God for Brother Tim, Brother Dirty. Amen. You can listen online. And so the reality is that wherever you are, and even if you're listening online tonight in this sermon, you need to understand that God has a purpose for your being here or where you are. And He is trying to prepare our hearts for the work that He would do in us and through us. Peter, I know you've been working. Peter, I know you've been all night long. But if you'll just listen to me, I've got a work I'm about to show you. Throw that net on the other side. Peter, I know you're tired. I know that it's been a weary night. I know it's been frustrating. And there's moments that you felt like giving up. But Peter, if you'll just listen to the Creator for 1 minute, go ahead and throw your net on the other side. Peter is about to see the work of God begin in his heart. He has no idea what his life is in for, but he's about to find out that the Master of the universe has walked into his boat, and he's about to show him something he's never seen on his own. Peter had never caught a catch like that. Peter, in all of his days fishing, had never seen anything like what he's about to see. On our own, church, let us not forget that if we try to do this under our own abilities, our own skills, our own strengths, our own ambitions, we will surely fall. But when we have the power of God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the mandate and the direction of God leading us to launch out in the ministry, God would do a work that we have never seen, because He is already at work today preparing that heart. This whole situation, this whole encounter is really a lesson that Christ is trying to teach Peter. I want you to reach man. I want you to be a fisher of men. Now, Peter, I know you're not learned. I know that you're not educated in terms of this day and hour. I know you're a common man, but I want to reach those kind of folks. And so, Peter, I know that I could preach all day long, Peter, and you might just not get it. But, Peter, I'm about to show you something in your own life and in your own work, in your own trade, that you could never do on your own. And when you understand that, Peter, you'll understand how much I'm wanting to do a work beyond you. And so he's preparing the heart of Peter. Christ is wanting to gather a harvest. I'm thankful for this church for so many reasons, but just one being that there is a direct, I can directly attribute my salvation today to the work of elders in this church who went out into Drexel and reached out. I can. You know, you talk about tracing a lineage and heritage for salvation. I don't have to go very far. Some of the folks who reached out to our family are still here tonight. And so I'm thankful for that. But if we forget the reason we have a church, then we are forgetting the call of God for our church. Revival is not so that we can feel that emotional peak, and then we get back into here next Sunday and we're back into the same routine. No. Revival is God re-giving life to us again. And when the life of the church is beating, when the heart of the church is beating, and when the life of God is flowing through the church, inevitably you will find that the heartbeat of God is the salvation of men and women and boys and girls. And so the Lord is preparing Peter through fishing to get him to understand, I'm about to do a work in this world, and I'm about to reach out to some men and women and boys and girls. And even in the book of Acts, he takes Peter a little bit deeper into the waters when he starts to tell him to go ahead and preach to the Gentiles. But he's just working on Peter a little bit right now. But we know that God is about to do a work in the lives of men and women in Peter's generation. And if he can get Peter to understand that the very God that can cause fish to jump in that net is the very God that can anoint a common man to preach the gospel and 3,000 souls get saved, Peter falls on his knees and admits he is nothing. He's a sinful man. But Jesus is calling Peter in this very moment to be something greater than he could ever be on his own. Amen. You and I are common individuals. Amen. I know there's nothing great about me, but thank God he's called us into the ministry. And God has got a calling for Union Pentecostal Church to impact the world around us for Jesus Christ. Thirdly, the power and the possibilities. We've seen the place and positions of those who were on the shoreline and the purpose in preparation for Peter being in the deep part of the lake. But now we begin to understand the power and the possibility of this man, Jesus Christ. I told you there were three groups of people that I'd like to talk to you about. And the first one was those who were on the shoreline. The second was those who were in the boat with Jesus. But the third group I'd like to talk to you about is a little bit more vague, but I believe it's just as important. It's those who the Lord would like to catch in the net. Now, we're not talking about catching those who are reluctant. We're talking about those who the Lord would love to have us as His servants. Sow that seed and let it catch root. Jesus here used the word draught or in terms of that would be caught in the net. But I find it interesting that this very same word can also be used in terms of a military term for draft. And so I really wonder tonight if maybe the Lord wasn't trying to get Peter to understand something. Peter, just as you are throwing your net in and catching all of these fish. I mean, I want us to think about this for a second and just really wrap our minds around it. Peter's net is so full it begins to break. All right? So he calls James and John. Fellas, you better get over here. This is not going to be good. That's his trade. If his nets break, he's in trouble. James, John, come over here. Throw your nets off. They get the fish in the boats. And the Bible says the boats begin to sink. That's a lot of fish. Amen. Maybe we need to pray this for Lake Erie trip, Brother Jim. Praise the Lord. Anytime I start reading about the disciples on the lake, I can't get away from it. I'm sorry. Oh, help us, Lord. The boats begin to sink. You talk about a catch. Where were those fish all night? Where were those fish? You know, we don't really know what happened. Jesus could have already been speaking to his creation. Every time Peter threw it in over here, fish, go over here. Just stay right there for a little bit. Peter gets it off, throw it on the other side. Hey, over there. All the fish. I don't know how it happened. Jesus is powerful enough, he could have went and the fish appear. We don't know. But we do know this. The fish were there. And there is a catch out there. And there is a harvest out there. And the power of Jesus Christ is such that if you and I will be obedient and submissive to the will of God, don't run from the will of God. Young person, listen, I will tell you that the hardest year of my life was my senior year of high school, going into what would have been my freshman year of college. I felt such a lack of direction in my life, and I knew God had called me to the ministry, and yet I could not have a release upon my own dreams, even though it was Bible school, even though it was what I wanted to. I could not find that spiritual release, and it was tearing me up inside, and it wasn't that I was running from the will of God. It just felt like I had no direction. And yet I remember the place where God began to lead me by His power. Amen. And to a place where I could have never dreamed I'd be. And yet He was providentially providing for me and my future family. Listen, when we run from the will of God, all we are doing is establishing a pattern of destruction for our lives. The will of God for your life is to be saved. Amen. To be drawing closer to God and to follow in His Word today. And His will lead us to a fruitful existence. And Peter is understanding right here, right now, the will of God for my life is to say yes, whatever you will, I'll throw the net in. Amen. It's not rocket science. If God tells us in this revival to be obedient, let's just be obedient and see if He doesn't give us a harvest, amen, of souls for the church and for the kingdom of God. Launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a drought. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the nets. The status quo will not serve us in a harvest time. Karl Barth said, faith in God's revelation has nothing to do with an ideology which glorifies the status quo. Church as we know it will not satisfy this world. A church that is excited about nothing will never win this world to Christ. But when you've seen the Master, notice this. Peter fell down on his knees, and the Bible said those that were with him were astonished. Why? Because they just saw a miracle. We serve Jesus Christ. Brother Cruz, we serve a miracle-working God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. If Brother Wilson was here, I'd point to Brother Wilson. You talk about a miracle. Amen. We serve a miracle-working God. And when those who we bring in have an encounter for themselves with Jesus Christ, Sister Earth, it won't be very long until they're either astonished or they're angered and turn away. But that's on them. That's not for us to decide, but we've got to throw the net out. Amen. The gospel is not going to deliver itself. It must be upon the backs of men and women and boys and girls who have a heart that says yes to God. Let's launch out tonight. Amen. What about a church? What if we launched out towards a burden for the lost? What if we launched out towards a burden for our lost children? Amen. A deeper prayer life that cries out to God. Amen. What if we launched out to our lost parents? What if we launched out to our lost peers? I know you've been praying. I know you've been calling out to God for those family members that are lost. And I would say that God is calling us, amen, to launch out in that direction to see the lost saved. Hallelujah. This whole encounter with Peter was never about the fish. It was about the men, the women, the boys, and the girls. What we see in revival this week, and I believe that we are going to see the Lord move, and He's already moving. But what we see in revival this week is not for a confirmation of how righteous we are, how much we've attained, how much that we have done right. It is all about stirring our hearts to do a work for the kingdom of God. And when the work of the kingdom goes forth, nothing can stop it. Music, would you come tonight? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. I just want to be a part of the kingdom. How about you? I want to be a part of the harvest of souls. Amen. There is a power that we cannot have on our own abilities, but we serve a powerful God, the only powerful God, and the possibilities Oh, Brother Rose, one of these days, I'm just expecting to hear about revival breaking out in the Wednesday night classes. It's possible through the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm just expecting to hear about how God has got a hold of a high school or an elementary school. Why? Because it's possible through the power of God. I'm expecting one of our ladies to be somewhere and God fall on you and you begin to minister to somebody you maybe have never met, but by the power of Jesus Christ, the life is changed for eternity. Revival is when we take the time to pray. Absolutely. Revival is when we're willing to obey. Yes, sir. But revival will also come when you and I begin to reach out to the world around us that is crying out to be saved, dying to know Christ, wanting so badly to be called by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, you've got the answers. Hallelujah. Church, let's pray tonight. The Lord is dealing with hearts. If you're here tonight and you don't really understand what's going on, but you feel something in your heart tugging at you, I want you to know tonight that that is the Lord. It's the Creator. It's Jesus Christ. He's alive. And the Bible says that He came unto His own, but His own received Him not. But to as many as will receive Him, to them gave He power, the opportunity to become the sons and daughters of God. I want you to know tonight that, and I told you already, it's not an accident that you're here. The Lord has literally set up this service so that you would know that there is a life that is true living. That there is a freedom from the burden and guilt of sin. That there is a forgiveness for all of our mistakes. That there is a hope of eternal life. You may not understand it, but you know the Lord is dealing with your heart. I want to give everyone in this house an opportunity tonight to respond to what that pricking in your heart is. And what that is that's Jesus. The Bible said He's knocking at our hearts. And if you'll invite Him in and ask Him to be your Lord and Savior, He'll change your life. And so I want to open up the altars tonight, and this is our time of prayer. And what we do here is we use these steps all across the front here. We use these steps as a place of prayer. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to invite you to come. Everyone, please be serious tonight. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I want to invite you to these stairs and we'll pray with you. If there's anyone that would like to, come tonight and surrender your life. I want to tell you, your life will never be the same. It is a radical change that God can do. You will never be able to dream about the places that God will place you in your life if you surrender to Him. The joy and the peace and the satisfaction that is not found in the world when we serve ourselves and serve sin. If you need Jesus, won't you come? Let's all stand tonight. Let's all stand. If you need Christ, just go ahead and come. Amen. This is the first step of what Peter was doing. Lord, if You will it, that's what I'll do. I'll just say yes. Step out. This is the first step of getting into a deeper place. It's salvation. Do you need Christ tonight? I want to invite you to come. We'll pray with you. You won't be alone. Don't feel embarrassed either. Many of us in this house tonight have responded the same way. And I'm so thankful that I did. If you're here tonight and you need Jesus, I want you to come. We'll pray with you. The Lord is speaking to you tonight. He wants to change your life. Is there anyone here tonight you want to come? Church, let's pray. Let's pray. Oh, Jesus. Have Your way, Lord. Have Your way, Jesus. You'll never be able to have a satisfied life outside of Jesus Christ. You'll never be able to have a satisfied existence outside of Christ. There's always a void. There's always an emptiness that cannot be filled except through Jesus. Church, I thank You for Your continual desire to see folks come to Christ. I thank You for every time You've came out to Sidewalk Sunday School, every time You've given money to feed children who are hungry, every time You've given an offering that has went around the world to missions, every time You've supported this church, whether in finances or in person. I thank You for the desire of this church to see souls saved. But church, we've got a deeper place that I believe the Lord would take us to even tonight. A fresh burden, a fresh hunger, a fresh desire to see souls saved. I so appreciate the burden our pastor has led us with about seeing souls saved. And just a few services ago, he admonished us to begin to pray that we would see souls saved. But you and I both know that there are friends that have sat upon these very pews who are not here tonight. Amen. Let's get a hold of them this week. Let's just launch that net out and let's see if God, amen, will do something. How about that? Amen. Let's pray that God would get a hold of the backslidden believer. Let's pray that God would get a hold of that person that maybe has never known God, but yet God has been working in their hearts, a work that they don't even understand what it is, but God's already sowing that seed. Amen. Let's throw out the net this week and believe God for the harvest. Let's come find a place to pray. Amen. Call out someone's name in prayer tonight. Amen. Call out somebody's name in prayer and ask God to get a hold of them in salvation. Let's launch out. Let's launch out into the deeper things of God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You have no idea who may be wanting someone to call them this very night and invite them to this revival. You may not know what young man or young woman is wanting someone to tell them that there is better life than the life they're living. You may not know who is here that needs to hear the words of life. I'd just like to encourage you tonight. Throw that net out. Oh, be obedient. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
Whatever He asks you to do, He will enable you to do.
Oh, Jesus.
speaks and he calls to surrender your all, give it to him. There's a bigger picture and plan that you don't understand. Your future is right in the palm of his hand. Don't worry what others may say. Simply trust and obey. Oh, trust and obey. For he's working things together for your good. Oh, 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 trust and obey. For he's working things together for your good. Oh, answer his call. Give him your all. Carry the cross, be it great or small. Don't worry what others may say. Simply trust and obey.